As the Bush administration ponders ways to unseat Saddam Hussein in Iraq, attention has turned to the country's ethnic Kurds. Their militias and the autonomous territories they govern in northern Iraq would be critical to a U.S. strike against Baghdad. But NPR's Ivan Watson reports that the Kurds fear reprisal attacks from Saddam Hussein, who gassed Kurds with chemical weapons in the 1980s.
In the village of Shawa, locals use a jackhammer to destroy the foundation of what was once a palace belonging to Saddam Hussein. There's little left of the original building, just a few walls, an enormous pile of rubble, and a couple tiles ornately decorated with the two Arabic initials S and H. Bayan Amin, a Kurdish woman whose house stands next to the ruins, says locals used dynamite and sledgehammers to destroy the palace after the U.S.-led coalition forced Saddam to withdraw his troops from northern Iraq in 1991.
We want to remove all the related things to Saddam, even his sound and even his smell. Anything related to him, we want to remove it because we suffer too much from him.
Saddam Hussein is hated by Iraq's ethnic Kurd minority. For these people, memories of torture, execution, and mass deportation at the hands of the Iraqi army are still fresh. Awaz Faik was just 13 years old when Iraqi aircraft dropped poisonous gas on the town of Halabja. By conservative estimates, this single chemical weapons attack in March 1988 killed at least 3,800 residents.
It was like doomsday. There was smoke in the sky. Everyone was panicking and running. I managed to escape in a car, but 15 of my family members did not make it.
Over the last 50 years, Baghdad took increasingly harsh measures to crush Kurdish attempts to establish an independent Kurdish state. It was only after the Gulf War in 1991 that the Kurds finally separated from Baghdad's rule. Since then, what's known as Iraqi Kurdistan has been protected from the Iraqi army by a no-fly zone that's patrolled by U.S. and British warplanes. For many here, President Bush's call for regime change in Baghdad has brought new hope of seeing Saddam Hussein toppled once and for all. But with that hope, says Hussein Sinjari of the Iraq Institute for Democracy, there is also fear of once again becoming the target of the dictator's wrath.
People are very much afraid and worried that in a war or during an attack by the U.S., then Iraq might use chemical or biological weapons against the people in the north.
Earlier this month, the Kurds joined other Iraqi opposition groups for a meeting with Vice President Dick Cheney to discuss strategies for Saddam's overthrow. The often divided Kurds have an estimated 80,000 fighters, known as Peshmerga. But the leaders of the two rival Kurd factions that have divided control of northern Iraq have both agreed that President Bush must meet several conditions before Kurdistan can join in any possible military adventure. Masoud Barzani, the leader of the largest Kurdish party, governs two-thirds of northern Iraq.
We're not an army of soldiers on demand. If the United States asks for something, our rights have to be protected first to assure the future of this region and the Kurdish people. That's why we said we wouldn't be part of any covert military action. We want American public opinion to be involved so we don't repeat the mistake of 1975.
More than 25 years ago, the U.S. and Iran both abruptly cut off covert aid to Barzani's father, who was then leading a revolt against Baghdad. Soon after, his rebels were defeated, and the Iraqi army retaliated by deporting hundreds of thousands of Kurds and destroying some 1,500 villages. The Kurds also felt betrayed by the U.S. after the Gulf War. Hassan Ali Kadra commands a Peshmerga bunker located within sight of the Iraqi army's front line. If the U.S. had supported us in 1991, we could have gone all the way to Baghdad, he says. But unfortunately, the U.S. abandoned the Kurds, and the Iraqi army pushed us out of the country. At the end of Operation Desert Storm, President George Bush urged Iraqis to rise up and overthrow their leader. The Kurds revolted, expecting U.S. support. When it failed to materialize, the lightly armed Kurd guerrillas were crushed by Iraqi attack helicopters. This triggered another exodus of millions of Kurdish refugees. Today, Ali Kadra rolls up his sleeve to show the scar from a shrapnel wound he received in the fighting. A present, he says, from Saddam and the United States. Then in 1996, the U.S. once again stood by as Saddam Hussein's army invaded part of northern Iraq and wiped out a major anti-Saddam CIA operation. And yet, despite their long history of betrayal and defeat, Ali Khadra and many others interviewed in Iraqi Kurdistan say they'd be willing to attack Saddam again. That is, if they fight side by side with the Americans. The Peshmerga demonstrate their bunkers, aging mortar, and mounted machine gun. Alone, these ill-equipped Kurd militias are no match for Iraq's helicopters, tanks, and heavy artillery. And for months, they've watched nervously as the Iraqi army has reinforced its defenses all along northern Iraq's front line. This includes the village of Kalak, which literally stands in the shadow of a hill manned by Iraqi troops. From the roof of his house, farmer Qadr Aziz points at the two Iraqi soldiers perched on a hilltop just 400 yards away. Is America going to attack them? He asks. We want America to push them back so that my children can sleep safely at night. Ivan Watson, NPR News, Kalak in northern Iraq.